So this morning, I'm going to invite you as we think about the story that God is telling in our lives. As we think about the story that we are a part of and the Bible that is written about that story and the story that is in these pages that are in these words that we read about, this story, although it is encapsulated between Genesis and Revelation, the story is not over. It's still being told over and over again. It's still being written. It's still being lived out and played out in the days of our lives that we are living before the true and living God. And so what we are trying to do is find ourselves in this story by looking at what our lives look at or what our lives look like and how it mirrors and fits and how we can do a better job of living that story. So we're talking about knowing your story. And this morning, out of 1 Samuel chapter 8, I'm going to talk about be careful what you wish for. You know, that's one of the things that we're told, you know, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 8. That's going to be kind of the jumping off point that we talk about. You know, and that's that idea of be careful what you wish for. And you think, well, why? Why would I do that? Because I'm wishing for it. It's obviously, you know, what I want. But oftentimes, as is the case, what we want is the exact opposite of what we need. And what we want so often is not good for us at all. It's actually bad for us. And God is trying to tell us this over and over and over again, but it's a hard lesson to learn because as we talked about in the last couple of weeks and as we talk about in our Sunday morning class is that more than anything, we want to be and we think as people that we are qualified to be in charge. And maybe not in charge of everything, but at least in charge of us. I mean, I don't know that I'm qualified to really, you know, direct the lives of everybody, but I'm surely qualified to direct my own life. And, I might not know what's best for everyone, but I know what's best for me. And that's really the struggle that we have. And then you get a whole bunch of us together that think we know best as individuals, and then we're trying to tell God how to run the world. I want you to remember the context that we established last week, the context that God wants more than anything a relationship with us. Because it's easy to get sidetracked on all of the rules and regulations and all of the do this and don't do this and go here and don't go there and all that. And all of that is important, but we can't ever mistake the fact that God wants a relationship with us. He does not want religion from us. Over and over and over again, Jesus said, look, you worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And in Psalm 40 and verse 6, we shared this last week, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. But my ears you have opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come, it is written about me in the scroll, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. What God wants from us is a relationship with Him, is a dependence on Him. But what we find is that in doing God's will, in living His life, our story is sometimes frustrating. And we see this in the Israelites here in 1 Samuel chapter 8. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. And they turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. You see, The way that God was leading His people was through judges, was through prophets. And what they would do is that they relied upon the judge or the prophet to really depend on God to lead them. And in certain cases that happened, but all too often they didn't. And what that led to was a frustration on the part of God's people because, you know, they were kind of dependent on these people over them. And when that didn't go well, they were frustrated. And it might not be all about leadership all the time. I mean, that's an easy target, but it might not be. Our lives are not, don't go smoothly all the time. And we're God's people, right? And we serve the true and living God, and we try to do what He says, and we try to love Him and love others. And, you know, that's the first and the second and the greatest and the second greatest commandment, right? I mean, we try to do all those things and it just doesn't always work out the way that we want it to. And we have to realize that our story is sometimes frustrating. And we didn't invent that. We're not the first ones to discover that, you know, we're just down here trying to do our very dead level best to be God's people. And we really have this idea that, you know, that the people above us are going to do what they're supposed to do, and the people below us are supposed to do what they're supposed to do, and the, you know, the economy will do this, and the dollar will do that, and then the housing market will be here, and, you know, and we'll all live happily ever after. And that's just not the case, is it? It's frustrating. What we find is that when the going gets tough, the people start complaining. I mean, that's, you know, we inherit our complaining ability from way back. So what do? The people, when they go and get, look at verse 4 in chapter 8. So all the elders of Israel gather together, and they come to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "You're old." You know, I've noticed that that is a really great way to open a conversation with someone if you want to get them on your side. You know, they're going to really be listening to you at this point. I mean, this is conflict resolution 101. So when I say things like to Frank or to Bob, "You're old," it's not an insult. It's biblical. I mean, I'm just quoting Scripture to them. Just saying, "You're old." Amen. But no, they go on to say, "And your sons don't walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." See, you know, one of the greatest characteristics of God's people is jumping to conclusions. See, this particular circumstance is not really working out for me. So instead of tweaking things a little bit, I got a great idea, God. Let's change everything. I mean, isn't that what we do? Is that we just, I mean, you know, at my house we use the word panic a lot. Oh, I just panicked and did this, you know. But isn't that what they're doing? Is that, you know, they're frustrated. And what's the first? Well, we need to change everything. Not so much. Maybe when frustration sets in, there's some things that we can learn from their example. Maybe when frustration sets in, when things don't always go the way, because, you know, we could have, you know, really good leaders and then the ones that come after them are, not so much. Or maybe we could have really good, economic times, and then just for no apparent reason, you know, things just sort of turn. Or man, maybe we could really be in a great relationship, and then all of a sudden we kind of wake up and realize that it's just not that way anymore. Or, you know, maybe our kids can be, you know, just knocking it out of the park and doing great things, and they're just a blessing, and we're so proud of them. And then it seems like they get involved in something, and life just takes a turn, and we get frustrated. And maybe when that happens, instead of panicking, we can remember that God is always God. You know, just because, you know, we're rocking right along and things are going great and we hit a bump or a hiccup or, you know, this guy does this or this lady does that or this situation doesn't turn out the way. You know, maybe we don't have to panic and throw everything out and change everything. We can just relax and know that God is always God, because frustration leads to temptation if we let it. And what they're doing is they're being tempted to reject God. You see, God goes on to say that, you know, let give us a king. And you know the history that God was their king. God was the one who was leading them. You know, that, you know, the whole idea is the king is their leader, and the king, you know, makes decisions, and the king does this, and the king does, you know, and so, but God's like, but I'm your king. And they said, give us a king to lead us. And this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It's not you they've rejected, but they've rejected me as their king, as they've done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until the day forsaking me and serving other gods. So they're doing it to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king that will reign over them will do. You see, what's going on here, what goes on in our story as well. So when we get frustrated, we get tempted, we're tempted to reject God. And what that means is we're trying to take matters into our own hands. I mean, isn't that so often the case, is that, you know, whether it's Abraham and Sarah, you know, oh, I'll do, I know what God, he said we're going to have a son and or a child. And so, you know, but obviously, you know, that's not going to happen the way that we thought it was. So what we'll do is we'll help God along in this. And so they're thinking, you know, well, God, you know, we're supposed to be this people, and you know, God's supposed to take care of us and all that. And he's given us these prophets and these judges and this and that. And maybe it's, you know, we just need to, this is really where we're headed with this. So we're going to just kind of take matters into our own hands and speed this process along. See, that's at its very root what sin is all about. Sin is this rebellion against God. It isn't being patient in our circumstances and trusting God. It's panicking in the midst of a brokenness and trying to fix things on our own. So when frustration sets in, remember, God is always God. He transcends our circumstances, His power, His rule, His ability. So not only is God still God, but God always has an answer. When we get frustrated with the way things are going, when we get just a little bit too much of the brokenness down here, God always has an answer. He says, you know, listen to Him. You know, I love that idea. I love God saying, you know, hey, Samuel, don't panic. Listen to them and see what they have to say. And then open their eyes to the reality of what they're asking for. So Samuel told them all the words of the Lord, to the people who were asking him for a king. This is in verse 10. He said, this is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve as his chariots and serve with his chariots and horses. And they will run out in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He'll take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and offer grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants and your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and the donkeys he will take for his own. He'll take a tenth of your flocks and yourselves will become his slaves. And when that day comes, you'll cry out for relief from the king you have chosen. See, God always has an answer to our frustration. Notice the disparity between words here. The people said, we're frustrated. We want a king. You know, this situation's not working out. We want a king. And God didn't just say, that's a bad idea. He didn't just say, no. Trust me. God goes into excruciating detail about how bad of an idea this is. Not only how bad of an idea, but why it's a bad idea, and specifically how this bad idea is going to play out in the circumstances of individuals. And He leaves nobody out. When we're frustrated, God is not afraid of giving us details about why it's important, how it's important that we follow Him. And you see, following God's direction is about Him still being God. It's not about us agreeing. See, Job understood this. I know I'm switching real quick and we're shifting gears and because we're almost out of time, but if you go back and you read the book of Job, and to a degree, they're kind of going through a little Job-like situation here, because things get real frustrating real fast. In the book of Job, things get real frustrating real fast for him. See, what Job teaches us is that suffering inside of the will of God, in a relationship with God, is far better than a life of comfort outside of the will of God, without a relationship with Him. See, God is their king. And they're saying, well, we don't like the way things are going. We don't like the circumstances of our lives right now. So we want to drastically change everything. And God is trying to tell him, look, if you do that, if you reject me as your king, not only will circumstances not get better, but circumstances will get worse and you will have no relief from that. You see, because it isn't always the changing of our circumstances that gives us relief, is it? Because some of our circumstances just won't change. But it's the relationship that we have in the midst of that circumstance that gives us relief, isn't it? You know, brother of mine, sister of mine have come to me as their preacher at times and just, I've lost my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I can't give them a job. I don't have a job to give them. But I can give them relief because I'm there with them. I'm in a relationship with them. You know, I people come and we talk about, you know, marital issues and our marriage is falling apart and they are just broken and I can't fix it, but I can give them relief. We've all experienced that, haven't we? We can't fix every, God's saying, look, every frustrating problem is not going to be fixed, but do not forsake me because I am your only source of relief. And it's far better to suffer with God than to live in comfort without Him. When frustration sets in, we have to check our stubbornness at the door. You see, we come, if we want to understand our story, we come from a long line of stiff necks. I mean, we really do. God's people over and over and over again are like, yeah, I know what, I hear what you're saying, God, but, well, I know that makes sense to you, God, but it doesn't make sense to me, so we're going to do this. That might have worked for them, but God, you're dealing with me now. If we understand that we have this inherent roadblock when it comes to trust in God. And that is that we are stubborn and we have inherited that from generation upon generation upon generation of God's people. Then maybe, just maybe, we can get a little closer to not panicking when things don't go our way. When circumstances get frustrating. I'm not saying we're going to be able to not panic and just say, oh my goodness, we're going to change everything. But maybe we can do a little bit better. If we recognize, you know what, I'm up against something here. I'm up against my frustration and my own stubbornness. Because I want to take matters into my own hands. Verse 19, but the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations. God is saying, and I know it's early in the story. He's saying, I don't want you to be like all the other nations. You're not set apart to be like all the other nations. I know God is saying, if you could just live 15 minutes inside one of those other nations, you would know that life with me is better than anything else. He's telling us the same thing as we look at all the other nations, all the other houses, all the other peoples that live around us and say, but God, why can't, but we want, and things aren't necessarily any better for me. And we, that, he said, just relax. I am still God. And I have answers for you if you will only listen. This morning, the invitation is this. Will we allow, in the midst of our frustrations, because I dare say that if I said, please stand, if the circumstances of your life have lined up to be exactly what you want them to be, I would be the only one standing, and that wouldn't be for long because I would sit down quickly. We all know frustration. But in the middle of that, God is still God. And He has answers if we're willing to listen. And we are the only roadblock in our way. This morning, if you have stubbornness or frustration, if you have any need to lay before God and to rely on His Godness, the invitation is open. I know we get frustrated. I know things get difficult. But let's not panic. Let's patiently, as Bob led us earlier, sing. Let's patiently be still and know that He is God. And we will experience the relief that He promises us. Whatever your need might be this morning, would you join me on the front? I'll be up here. You can come forward. We'll pray with you, pray for you, pray over you. Whatever your need is, as together we stand and as we stand.